We traveled to Yemen, a country grappling with crushing poverty and deadly insurgencies. It appears that he joined an affiliate of Al-Qaeda, and that this group, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, trained him, equipped him with those explosives, and directed him to attack
that. This is Birmingham, this is England. You want to live here, you live by our laws, not your own. You don't bring your laws here. Yeah. This is our country.
This is our country. This is where we was born.
It's not a racist thing. If you're Muslim, or you're black, or you're whatever, you're welcome here, you're welcome here, but you live by our laws, mate, because all we're against is the people that stand against our soldiers.
They say you're the problem for 9/11,
killing innocent people and everything. Is that what your religion teaches you?
The whole classroom shouting bomb the Muslims.
I got in a fight in school because of that. He's like, yeah, like, oh, 9/11, it's all because of you guys and stuff.
The teacher just didn't care. They were saying, bomb Muslims, and I didn't know that they knew that.
The very many different faces to a very complex problem. But what is that problem? Is it Islamophobia or is it Muslims themselves? Welcome to The Link, the show where we connect our audience here in Tehran, our audience in London, as well as in Washington, the show that connects your news and your views. This is The Link with me, Nargis Mualeghi. Well, let's open the floor up with the title of our discussion today, Islamophobia. Who's to blame? Is it Muslims or is it intolerance towards Muslims? Let's start off in London. This is a hot topic over where you are. What is the cause of Islamophobia?
Yeah, hi. I think it's the Muslims because of 9/11. If the extremists didn't take the plane and put them into two buildings, all this hatred of the Western world won't be against them.
Okay, let's get a view over from Washington. 9/11 happened in the United States, where you are. The gentleman there in London saying, it is the Muslims' fault. It was Muslims who crashed those planes into the Twin Towers. Who agrees with that? Who disagrees? So let's get a comment over from Washington.
I would like to read from an article called Provoking Action. It's from the LA Times in February the 5th, 2003. It has been revealed the creation of an organization by U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, called the Proactive Preemptive Operation Group. Its purpose is to bring together CIA and military covert action, information warfare, intelligence, and cover and deception. Its role is to manufacture the terrorism that is to be combated. In other words, the CIA, the FBI, and all the Western intelligence networks have devised a plan to produce what we call perception management, to draw a picture of Islam as terroristic in its nature. Therefore, it will justify the wars around the world, the jailing of Muslims, the closing down of all of our institutions. This is what we believe here in the United States.
Okay, so a very different point of view there. London, the gentleman at the back with glasses on, you want to make a point?
Yes, we should recognize that it's only a tiny majority of Muslims who preach extremism. And the part of the problem is drummed up by the media. It's only the trash tabloids and the Fox News and the Sky News who promote Islamophobia, and I've read the Quran more than five times. I can confidently tell you that nowhere does it preach extremism, and I just think it's a problem drummed up by the media. Thank you.
So would you say then, let me stay with you, that you then deny that Muslims are to blame for this issue at all?
I think it's only a tiny majority of Muslims who are to blame, but the majority of the problem is in the Western media, in the way they portray the news.
Okay, over to Washington. So we've had three different, very different views already. One, that it is the Muslims' fault, it was the Muslims who conducted 9/11. The other, that it is not to do with the Muslims, it is the FBI, the CIA and the authorities in America. And here we have a third view, that it's a minority of Muslims. I can see a lady with the black headband with her hand up, but I'd like to get your view on this.
I think the roots are much, much deeper and go back much further. In 1996, shortly after I married my Bosnian Muslim husband, Sarajevo, I was arrested at the airport in Schiphol and detained for 18 hours because they believed the burns on my hands, which you have to understand, we were just coming out of a war in Bosnia, to which most of the world was generally sympathetic to the Muslim side. Despite this, I was treated like a terrorist, strip searched three times. And this is in 1996 in Europe, so I don't think that this is something that's spontaneously generated or was provoked only by the events of 9/11. I think that the roots go much deeper.
Let's cross over to Tehran, because of course London and Washington see this from a different angle. The United States is where September 11th happened. London had its own terrorist attack on the London Underground. What do you make of this issue of Islamophobia? Do you see it any differently because you are in Iran? Yeah, over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Actually, in my idea, this matter is totally out of the question from Islam and Muslims. All around the world, during the history, we have seen that so many actually wrongdoings have been done. These things, actually, we blame them. The attack and the actually subway in London and those of the World Trade Organization Center, actually. But these are all irrespective of the ideology of 1 billion people. These are wrongdoings, and all through the history, wrongdoings have been done. We should not just make it complex with the actually a kind of belief that people have for the course of their lives.
Okay, if we do take that idea here, you're saying, in essence, that Muslims have no responsibility in this. It's something that happens all the time. There's someone who's wanting to come in London, and I would like to get your opinion on what's just been said here in Tehran.
Yes, I'd just like to go back to blaming the media. I think there's no individual organisation we can blame, you know, whether it's Muslim or Christian extremists, we should all be confronting that extremism. And, you know, on what you said in Tehran, the Muslim leaders, with some exceptions, have been very slow to confront Muslim extremists. So I think the blame does lie partly with the Muslim community as well as the Western media.
I'd like to ask you, Muslim leadership there or the Muslim community, who do you think needs to play a role in this?
Well, the Muslim leadership tends to speak for the Muslim community, so that condemnation needs to come from the Muslim leadership rather than from within the community.
OK, let me cross over to Washington. I've lived in Britain my whole life, and I know that actually this debate within the Muslim community is happening about how the leadership and the community can deal with this. And there's differences of opinions. Some say that you shouldn't be apologetic. Some say that you need to really work hard to change people's views of Muslims. What kind of dialogue is taking place in Washington on this?
I was actually going to go back to what you were saying, what can be done about this. Rather than focusing on the blame, I feel like Islamophobia is present. It's a fact in today's society. Especially, it was present before 2001, but after 2001, even more so. And I feel like both leadership and communities should be in charge of trying to spread the correct message of Islam and not allow this small minority to you know, present this wrong message. Organizations such as like the Islamic Information Center are trying to do that, and I feel like communities.
What is the correct message of Islam?
It's quite clear the message of Islam is the message and the best speech. We're always taught, from the perspective of a Muslim, is the speech of Allah. And Allah has said in the Quran that if you basically, if you take a life, is if you kill all of humanity. If you save a life, it's if you've saved all of humanity. So the message is, from the Muslim perspective, that indeed life is sacred. Now, and the protection and the sanctity of life is something that is systemic and endemic within the faith of Islam. And I think that's another aspect that needs to be dealt with, because there seems to be a lot of Muslim bashers and Islamophobia actors out there who want to portray that Islam has an inherent violent nature, Islam has an inherent nature that is the antithesis to that of the sanctity of life, and nothing could be further from the truth. So I'm an old country boy. You can call a horse a mule, but it doesn't make it one.
Okay, let's bring in some more players into the discussion. I'd like to greet our guests from Philadelphia and Tehran joining us now. From where I am here in Tehran, Mr. Nader Talibzadeh, a documentary filmmaker and commentator. Many thanks for being with us. And I'd like to thank very much Mr. Daniel Pipes for joining us, founder and director of the Middle East Forum there in Philadelphia. And let's pick up on the last comment that was made over in Washington, that a negative view of Islam is, in essence, what he was saying, promoted a lot more in the West than any positive aspects of the religion. Is there some foundation to that?
There are very different views of Islam. There is a generally positive view given by what one might call the establishment. The government, the media, the academy see Islam as a positive force. There is a negative view, particularly one on the right and in the churches, which has grown much stronger in the last 10 years in the United States, was hardly in existence, and doesn't like Islam at all, sees Islam as an enemy. They're in-between views. Mine is in-between. Mine is that I don't have a problem with Islam, the religion. I do have a problem with Islamism, or radical Islam, totalitarian Islam, a form of Islam that's today dominant. It's not a small minority. It is, it is a minority of people follow it, but it is the dominant force in the Muslim world today. So there are different views. I've given you three, and there is a lot of argument. I'm someone who's been studying Islam for over 40 years. There was little discussion in the 1970s about Islam. There is great discussion about it today. Lots of people have strong opinions about it. So we are formulating our understanding of Islam, especially in the United States, but throughout the West.
Let's bring in something new you brought to the debate, which was Islamism. What do you mean by Islamism? Many people equate Islamism to Salafism. Is that what you meant?
What I mean by Islamism is an ideology that believes that spreading Islam and spreading Islamic law, the application of Islamic law, is critical for a strong ummah, for a strong Muslim community. That is not the view of most Muslims. Most Muslims are not thinking about Islamic law. But that is the view of a minority of Muslims who have strong feelings about this and who dominate intellectually, religiously, culturally these days. That is my problem, is Islamism, not Islam.
Okay, let's pass
this
it
new
over.
Form. Yeah, this form that's really only a century old.
Yeah, let's just pass this over to Mr. Talibzadeh, because there we're discussing Islamism, a political ideology of Islam. And Mr. Pipes there is saying that this is a minority, but in essence what he's saying is the power of this minority is a majority force, if I got that correct. Is that how you see it?
Okay, I think that Islam has come into the forefront, as Mr. Pipes was also mentioning. It was not apparent, and it was not in the scene in the 70s, but it came into being. There's a resurgence of Islam after 1978, after the Islamic Revolution, and this is very important. Here we're dealing with different age groups, somebody older like myself and somebody younger. Islam, let me give you an example. I can give you a better example. In 1982, a film came on one of the major national television stations in America called Nostradamus, The Man Who Saw the Future. This was the first time American audience saw an image of fear of Islam. A famous American actor, Orson Welles, narrated the semi-documentary, semi-fictional story. And for the first time, the mass audiences, and after that many times it was repeated, for the first time they heard the about Imam Khomeini, and they, for the first time, they were hearing about a man called Nostradamus, a man who reappeared after 600 years. The first Islamophobia notion appeared in this television program. When we talk about Islamophobia, we're talking about the history through the 80s. As you were talking before, you mentioned 1996 and September 11th. It goes way back to 1982, mentioning the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. So I think there were, very early in the 80s, somebody was managing the scene and strategizing the scene and building fear within the American audience especially and the world audience about Islam. So when the media, for a person like myself who was in the media, this was the first signal that something serious was appearing in the scene, okay, and it's going to be proliferating in the future.
We're going to talk more about media as well a little later on. I'd like to tell Washington, I can see your hand up, but there's a gentleman on the right-hand side of London who's had his hand up for a very long time. Yes, let me hand over to you.
I think that Islamophobia has existed for a very long time, and I'm sure that Muslims have feared Christians for a very long time. I like what the first gentleman in Philadelphia had to say about the CIA and aspects of 9/11 that haven't been properly investigated. I would also like to say that I think many moderate people would have things to fear from Islam, and I think many moderate people would have similar things to fear from right-wing Christianity, which became an issue when I saw a documentary about the rapture, which came from America. I'd quite like to know what the people in Tehran would think about. Are there fears of Christianity in Muslim countries?
Well, let's pass your question over to Tehran. I mean, the gentleman there is saying that this might actually be on a wider scale, the same way Christians fear Muslims, perhaps Muslims fear Christians. Is there anybody in this audience who has a fear of Christianity or who wants to make a comment on this issue? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think so. We don't have any fear about the Christians. I think nowadays the problem is not the Christian or Muslim themselves. The problem is from the side of the governments. I mean, the superpower have tried to use their medias to construct such phenomena, which is called Islamophobia. This is not, of course, to some part, let's say this is a reality, but the most part of it is the construction of the media and the policies of
superpower. Well, let me pose this question again to Tehran. I mean, you're saying that it's the media, but someone needs to do something before the media covers it. That media says that it was Muslims who bombed the Twin Towers on September 11th, that it was Muslims that bombed the London Underground. These things had to happen before the media covered it, didn't it? I've heard from you, I'd like to...
I get the question. Who has a great relationship with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, first of all? Everybody knows that it was the United States. They had supported them, they had sent them lots of weapons, everything they need. And based on these facts, they had an assumption that we are going to support the Al-Qaeda, I mean Taliban, in Afghanistan, to be sure that the security in the Middle East is supported. And after that, they started a war against this guy, I mean Taliban. They made it, and again, they started a war against this guy, that they made it by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Let's hand this over to Mr. Pipes, because he'll know about this. I mean, you've talked about Islamism. How does Al-Qaeda play into that? Is it the biggest player in this Islamist role that you've talked about? And who has been the biggest supporter of Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda is a relatively small organization that is spectacular in its activities, but not the key to the Islamist movement. And no, the United States has not supported Al-Qaeda. The United States government has not supported it. It didn't even exist back in the time of the war with the Soviet Union, nor did it support the Taliban.
I think if I could just come in here...
The United States government did support did support some Islamist organizations, but not these two.
Mr. Pax, if you just let me, sorry, because the confusion that comes up here is a confusion that, in fact, a lot of people make. A confusion between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and many say one of the reasons was because George Bush used to use it interchangeably. So the United States did support the Taliban at some point. Find that, I mean, surely, I mean, whether you agree with that or disagree.
For example, the
Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Like Gulbuddin Hikmatyar.
Yes, you did or you didn't, sorry.
They're very different. One has his origins. The U.S. government supported various Islamist organizations like that of Gulbuddin Hikmatyar during the 80s and 90s. It did not support the Taliban, which is an Afghan organization, nor did it ever support Al-Qaeda, which is based in Saudi Arabia and Yemen. No, these are not true. But I'd also like to go back to the point of Mr. Talibzadeh, who said that the anti-Islamic feeling in the United States began with a documentary in 1982 about Nostradamus. With all due respect to documentaries, which are important, I've never heard of this documentary, and there was a much bigger fact that happened a few years earlier, namely the seizure of the American embassy in Tehran and 444 days of American prisoners in that embassy. That's what got attention to Islam and to Ayatollah Khomeini and to Iran, the Islamic Revolution. That's what was the huge factor in that period, not a documentary. And as you pointed out, there are facts here, and there, of course, is a different way that the media can deal with it, and there is prejudice in the media, to be sure. But according to one account, one website called Religion of Peace, there have been 15,300 terrorist incidents carried out by Islamists since 9/11. That's close to 2,000 a year. That's a huge number. That's something that people are afraid of. It is up to Muslims to say, this is wrong, we repudiate this, we reject this, we won't do this in the future. And then those people who have fear of Islam will no longer be fearful. But they're not fearful of Islam because of bias.
Okay.
They're fearful of Islam because of what they're seeing. I mean, here just a few days ago, we had a near blow-up in Times Square in New York City.
And a
These
very young Muslim...
They need to be dealt with.
A very young Muslim man allegedly being involved in that. But because Mr. Talibzadeh and yourself have both pointed to the Islamic Revolution, Mr. Talibzadeh, I'd like to get your response in just a minute because we're almost to the end of our half time.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Yes.
Yeah. Further to Mr. Pipe's comment, I didn't say that it started with a documentary. I was just citing that as an example. I think what I believe chronologically and according to the calendar, raised a lot of fear of the growth of Islam was the Islamic Revolution. The advent of this fear of Islam started when Iran ousted the Shah, who was America's white horse in the Middle East. And America lost all its interests, all its economic and military interests in Iran. And a spiritual man, for the first time, a man who resembled something of the prophet that we remembered in history, appeared in the scene, and the masses of Iran, for the first time, especially the youth, supported this man.
There's been a gentleman in Washington who I promised to go to a while ago, and I'd like to get
Al-Qaeda,
his point of view.
Or whether it's Taliban, the United States government backed them both. What they wanted to do in Afghanistan with Saudi money, Pakistani intelligence, and U.S. full support. You got to remember the Taliban went into Afghanistan and destroyed those fighters who had fought against the Soviet Union. In turn, they came in and their goal was to start fitna between, let's be specific, Sunnis and Shias. They even killed 12 in Mazar Sharif. They killed 12 Iranian diplomats. Two got away and got back. Iran was on the border with 235 troops, but the Rahbar called them back. He said, no, we're not going to play into that fitna. So the U.S. has backed all kind of groups, but groups that would start trouble amongst Muslims.
Yes.
And when they fail, they get rid of them like all the other puppets. There's something arrogant that the other person had said about 44 days the hostage crisis. The United States in 1953 brought the Shah back after he was kicked out of Iran, right? And he ruled over the people like a despot for 25 years. And on the 15th of Khordad, which is in 1963, they had killed 15,000 people, and these so-called Democrats and Republicans said nothing about it. This whole thing is aimed at Iran. And one thing I want to say about Islamophobia
very quickly,
Christian hate for Muslims. I just said this is very important. In America, Islam had a name of transformation. In our community, Islam was known as a way of life that the people who are downtrodden accepts Islam, and Islam was known as upliftment. I have met with Christians all in the Southeast, and we don't have no problem. The only Christians in America that hate Islam is the ones that don't know nothing about it.
I'm going to have to stop you here.
The ones that listen to the media.
I will have to stop you because we're halfway through. We're going to have a quick break here on The Link. Do stay tuned. The debate is heating up.
The European Union says it will form a 500 billion euro crisis fund tasked with helping troubled eurozone economies. The fund will be set up with the involvement of the International Monetary Fund. It's reported that it will consist of bilateral loans, loan guarantees, and IMF credit lines. A new report shows 3 out of 4 Palestinian kids in East Jerusalem al-Quds live below the poverty line. An Israeli rights group also says 9 out of 10 Palestinians there don't have access to social services. It added that it's been Israeli policy to systematically discriminate Palestinians. At least 4 people have been killed during clashes in the Philippines as voting gets underway there. 40 million Filipinos are expected to vote for a new president and candidates running for thousands of other posts. Benigno Aquino is predicted to win the presidency. An Austrian national has won the Red Bull Air Race in the Brazilian city of Rio de Janeiro. Hans Arch was declared winner after the second round as rain hampered the rest of the competition. Briton Nigel Lam came second and defending champion Paul Bonham finished third. The North Pole has been visited by an Arab woman for the first time in history. Elham Al-Ghassimi from the United Arab Emirates completed the 8-day non-stop journey with a team of 5 others. The 27-year-old says she wants to visit the freezing pole again.
We're discussing Islamophobia here on The Link. The last 3 comments all mentioned Iran in 3 very different ways. Let's turn to our audience here in Tehran. How has Iran played into this issue of Islamophobia? Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. I want to go back to what Mr. Pipes actually mentioned about the roots of this phenomenon, which goes back to these, as he mentioned, the happening over the U.S. embassy in Iran. I want to ask a question. We had this before the ICJ, International Court of Justice, and actually the judgment was in favor of U.S. It wasn't that much far that many of the Iranian civilians were inside an airplane.
They were bombed and all of them were killed. But nothing like Americanophobia or Christianophobia or even, I don't know.
There's no Americanophobia in Iran?
I'm sorry, there is no coinage about that.
Do we have with the USA? Special? What does that mean then? Is that not a...
Can I go on?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. So, we never coined any point like, I don't know, Christianophobia or anything. After that, we had another scandal, which was the Iranian, actually, oil platforms. They were again bombed, and we never claimed something like that. Before all of these years, we had the actually British petroleum company governing and plundering it, if I may say, but we never said, I don't know, Anglophobia. We have never been after making actually, you know, points and threatening a belief which could be respected by itself.
Okay, I'd like to take your comments.
Yes, actually it's between the policies of the countries, it's not between the people or religion. When Iran and America, they have affairs, it's just between the policy or the government, it's not between the religion. It don't make any Christianophobia or Jewphobia in Iran.
Okay, I can see a hand, and I'd like to get your point of view on this. The view is, our audience here in Tehran is saying that when, for example, we say down with the USA, we mean the government, we don't mean the people in the West. Is that a message that's reflected over to you?
In my opinion, religion has nothing to do with this. Behind this are some group of interest, and general public is very easy to be manipulated by mass media. Behind this group of interest, just to get to the targets, being oil or land or power or anything. So. It can happen any another day to be Orthodox, they want to be targeted, or Catholics, or any other religion. It's just an excuse.
Okay, let me just cross over to Washington, the gentleman with the glasses at the back row.
There are a few things that I think Mr. Pipes, with all due respect, has just not acknowledged. And the first and the foremost is that the Muslim leadership, certainly within the United States, has condemned terror consistently, whether it's the Council of American Islamic Relations, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, whether it's mass freedom and the Imam Bray here. The Muslim leadership throughout this country has been quite vocal in casting its lot on the side of peace. And, mm-hmm. and so the idea that Islamism or his construction of Islam about which he is concerned is the dominant force in Islam in the world today, I have to say, quite frankly, is just not even remotely anything in the realm resembling truth, let alone actually accurate.
Moreover, most
terrorism in the world today is not Muslim. If you look in the recent history of the United States, at least, the worst terrorist organization measured in terms of losses of life, vastly on an order of magnitude beyond anything committed by Muslims, was the Ku Klux Klan. And to this day, if you talk to national security analysts in the counterterrorism establishment here in the United States, their concerns include not just Muslims, but if you look at anti-abortion clinic bombers, the Earth Liberation Front and Animal Liberation Front, terrorism and Islam have nothing to do with one another. There are all kinds of circumstantial connections, but that would be the same thing as saying that the CIA is a Christian terrorist organization, which it's not. It's an American terrorist organization.
Okay, so Mr. Pipes, there are two points being raised. One is that there has been condemnation from Muslim groups in the United States. Has it been enough? The question there. Secondly, talking about that, in fact, Islamic terrorism, quote unquote, is not actually killed the most number of people. There's many different forms of terrorism that aren't given a religious label that have actually been more deadly.
Good, thank you. Before I get to those, someone said that there's no anti-Americanism in Iran. Let me just note that the president of Iran has talked about a world without America. If that's not anti-Americanism, I don't know what is. No American president's talked about a world without Iran. Getting to your specific points, yes, the Islamic organizations in the United States have condemned terrorism. What they've not done is condemn the ideas, the movements, and the organizations that are behind it. And they've been pressed on this question often, and they refuse to do so. For example, the Council of American Islamic Relations was mentioned. Well, it is a, it is an offshoot. It is a child of Hamas, and it refuses repeatedly to condemn Hamas, understandably, but it won't condemn Hamas, which is behind the terrorism. It will just condemn the terrorist incidents. As for terrorism connected to Muslims being a small minority, I don't know where the gentleman is getting his figures. The Ku Klux Klan hasn't killed anybody in years. Animal rights, abortion rights, environment groups are sometimes violent, but on a tiny scale. To put it just simply, there were 3,000 dead 9 years ago at the hands of Muslim terrorists, and there have not been any comparable numbers, anything remotely like that. And, as I said before, there are over 15,000 incidents over the 9 years around the world of Muslims acting in the name of Islam. And that's why I think it's important to name Islam. It's not just people happen to be Muslims. It is people who are acting in the name of Islam, who are talking about Islam, who are acting in order to strengthen Islam and spread Islam and spread Islamic law. It's not me who's making this up.
Okay.
Listen to them. Listen to the videos they take before they begin their
operation. We haven't heard from long, but...
Please, can I say something? In the United States, we are having so much problem. Listen, when there is a long line in the international flights, and those long lines, when the people are saying why there is such a huge line, it says it's because of the Muslims. Why, when I, myself, when I have been held so many times in the airports, and I miss my flights, due to what? They call it is homeland security. Is it a homeland hate or security? What you are doing, Mr. Pipe, and the people like you, you are really covering up the huge crime that is going on in our community against the Muslims to say something else. Look at the back of your dollar bill. It is so huge that if you look at your dollar bill, back of it, it explains to you that land leadership and the wealth of the Muslim belongs to us. And that is where we have to go ahead and recognize that it is time to come to a reality. Not Islam is a problem, but the people like Muslims. A Christ is not a problem, the Christian is a problem.
We get the point that you're making, Mr. Pipes, and if I understood it correctly, is why was a definition not made between Islam and Muslims who might be doing something in the name of Islam, but it actually has nothing to do with the foundation or the principles of the religion?
Well, we who are not Muslims are not in a position to decide which Muslims are right and which Muslims are wrong. What we do hear is that there are Muslims who are trying to attack us and kill us in the name of Islam. Now, it may be they're right, they have the right interpretation, they might have the wrong interpretation, but the fact is they're acting in the name of Islam. And that is what people are hearing.
But isn't that a fundamental... Isn't that a fundamental point? London, in the left-hand corner there, is that a fundamental point? Should we be distinguishing whether this is something that's being done in accordance to what Islam says, or if it happens to be someone who's calling himself a Muslim and thinks he's abiding by certain rules, has acted out in any way, whether it be a terrorist attack or another discrimination. Go ahead, London.
I just want to change the kind of go back to the gentleman who was on the audience in Tehran, because saying there is no anti-Americanism and anti-Britishism is kind of a bit funny thing to say, because I'm just saying from my point of view, when I get on the tube, I live in London for years and years, I just want to get out safely, and it paints me a bad picture of, you know, Muslim people, because I'm a Christian, and if I want to celebrate my God, I just go to a church. I don't blow out other people just to, you know, appreciate and show how much I'm extremist. So I think it's kind of, we're painting a bit of a wrong picture. I mean, like you said, it's a small amount of people, minority, they're extremists, of course, I understand this, but we have to find ask these questions, what should we do about this, instead of saying, you know, who's to blame, who's not to blame, America, okay, England, whoever. So I think that's
let's talk about that. What should we do? One part of this is what the Muslim community should do. The lady at the back in Washington, you've had your hand up for a while. What community do you identify yourself with, or what communities, because many of us belong to plural communities, and what do you think that group needs to do going forward to distinguish, if there is a something needs to be distinguished between these two things, Islam and a Muslim who might be acting in the name of Islam?
I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to speak. I also work in the media, but I do not work for a major station. I work for a program where we can speak about these kinds of issues every week. And I might just say that, Mr. Pipes, you are really an insult to those of us who live in America and who consider ourselves even as Americans, whether we're Muslim, Christian, Jew, or any other faith path. And it's an insult when I hear media, major media, just somehow forget about some of the rules of investigation and what's really required to be a good journalist. So I would say this issue around Muslims and Islam has been going on for centuries, as you well know, from the Crusades and even before that. And the fact that when Christians do something, they don't take responsibility for their extremist acts that are perpetrated. And this is supposed to be a Christian Judaic society. Yet there are many, many acts, let's just say real quickly, homicides that occur in America are at the highest of any so-called developed country. Are those considered terrorist acts when somebody may kill 20 or 30 people here? We need to really look at the reality of what you all are covering. And Mr. Pipes and people like you, you need to take a back seat. Thank you.
Okay, let me go over to Mr. Talibzadeh, because we're talking about reality. But there is a reality. We heard a reality of this gentleman in London. His reality is, which is some of what we've been discussing in this program, what should the Muslim community do?
Okay, you know, this is really interesting. We talk about Islamophobia like it's a concept that it's been there forever. Islamophobia has been basically promoted. Islamophobia has been concocted. Look at the fruits of Islamophobia. By concocting and promoting fear of Muslims, look at the fruits. They have taken over the Middle East. Iraq is taken over. Afghanistan is taken over. The Persian Gulf is taken over. The northern regions are taken over. This is what they're looking for, and they have future plans. Look at what I'm saying is, let's take a look at it this way. Islamophobia has been concocted, it's been promoted, it's been produced, it's been manufactured. Manufactured to protect an identity, to protect something. And 9/11, you know, there's, I think more than half the population of the U.S. is skeptical about 9/11 and what has caused it. Even on the mainstream media, mainstream media heroes, musicians, writers, come on, and famous shows now, and express their skepticism about 9/11 now. It's skepticism of 9/11 has become more mainstream. Someone is behind creating this fear of Islam because of the attraction of Islam. And there's this scenario is an ongoing scenario. I mean, look at what we have today.
Go ahead.
Just for 1 second, I repeat myself. I said we never coined anything like Americanophobia. But actually, if there are feelings against, I don't know, the policies of one country, we can call it anti-Americanism. That is a different story which exists, and there are very firm reasons, and it is out of the question today. But just about your case and backing up with what Mr. Talibzadeh mentioned, I want to express that, this fabrication of a terminology, which is Islamophobia, it has got some reasons that I can find myself. Before the 80s, there was a phenomenon. We can see the result of that phenomenon right now in Washington and London, and that was an unnamed Islamophilia, means love toward Islam. People by themselves converted to Islam. That time we were not advertising. If right now you claim that we are advertising terrorism or whatsoever, which is based on no ground, that time without any advertisement, so it shows by itself that what is Islam and how human being without any output force would actually react.
Okay, there's quite a few people in Tehran who want to speak, so keep your comments brief so I can get for a few of them. Go ahead, lady.
I think that there is a minority in Islam and Muslim, which like Taliban or Al-Qaeda, which the Muslim themselves should do something to overcome this problem.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. And two gentlemen here who haven't made a comment yet, if I can get both of yours briefly.
If you let me. Sure. Actually, I have a word of caution for Mr. Daniel Pipe sitting in there in Philadelphia. It is really obvious and some sort of clear for everyone that Islamophobia is being subsidized and is being supported by the United States of America. in two ways, by media and by Islamic extremists.
Okay.
But I have a lot to say. Actually, I believe that liberalism in action is something different from liberalism in theory. And there is a huge gap between liberalism in theory and totalitarianism. But Islamophobia is bridging the gap. He mentioned about Hamas. But what happened after 2006 election in Palestine? Because people living in Palestine, they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to obey the United States of America and the Israel regime. They were besieged and they were attacked by military invasion.
Okay. Let me cross over to London. There is a gentleman wearing a white checkered shirt. If I could, I'd love to hear your comments.
Thanks. We're talking about Islamophobia. The term probably didn't really exist before 9/11 and 7/7 in London, and also about Christians being responsible for their own actions. But I think everybody should be responsible for their own actions. I think we in Scotland try to be anyway.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Washington, and over to you as well, if you could keep it brief.
What I would like to say is this. We don't have the time to deal with all this in detail. Daniel Pipes and his crew is responsible for people like myself being kicked out of Great Britain and what have you. I would like to challenge him. He's in Philadelphia at the university, any university in Philadelphia, to an open discussion. Me and him, my name is Abdul Aleem Musa, because this coward who was behind the Danish conspiracy, this bum has been spreading fitna all over America and scared, the poor Muslims are scared to death. We're not afraid of him. And I want to challenge him on behalf of our organization, wait a minute, which is the Islamic Institute for Counter-Zionist American Psychological Warfare. We call him out. If he want to come out, let him come out. He sits back there like a coward and talks about Islam.
Okay, we got your point now. And Mr. Pipes, there's been some heated comments about what you've discussed today. There's also been some comments about people who are fearful of Muslims. They're scared to get on their trains. Why do you think some of the comments you may make are taken the way that we just saw?
Well, I listened to this man insult me, and I also note down what he said. Poor Muslims are scared all across America, but we're not scared. Well, make up your mind, man. You're either scared or you're not scared. No, I'm not going to debate you. I'm not going to debate anyone who insults me. And you just insulted me gratuitously, and I don't talk to anybody who insults me. I am not responsible for anything about you. I'm trying to understand Islam and explain it to Americans. It's a complex subject. It's a subject I've been working on for over four decades. As you hear, I have a nuanced view. I'm not against Islam. I'm not against Muslims. But I'm against certain forms of Islam and certain kinds of Muslims, especially those who want to either attack me or want to impose Sharia on me. I don't want to live under Sharia, thank you. So long as you don't attack me and you don't try and impose Sharia onto me, I'm okay.
Well, let me just kind
if
of
you
take
do that,
together.
Then
yeah,
we have a problem.
I do get your point, but to bring together a lot of the views that have been made in this program, and one that was made very early on, is that you are focusing on an area of the umbrella of Islam, and we've debated whether that is actually Islamic, whether that is a majority or not. You yourself admit it's a minority, but then why is everything you've spoken about today being about that minority? How can we move forward from this? Should you start engaging with a majority view of Muslims and taking that forward, perhaps?
I see the Islamist ideology as powerful, coherent, attractive. And although only a minority of Muslims subscribe to it, because they are mobilized, because they're energized by it, because they have a purpose given by it, they dominate. Look at the internet, look at mosques, look at organizations, and you see they dominate. So I don't believe this is the only kind of Islam, but I can't help but notice it is the kind of Islam that is out there and that is threatening. And I appeal to Muslims to work to find to develop an answer to this radical form of Islam that is modern, moderate, good neighborly. I believe it can exist. It does exist, but it needs to exist in stronger force than it does today.
It can exist or it does exist.
We are. This is a. It exists in small form. what is dominant is radical Islam. What we need is moderate Islam to become strong. And by the way, I'm criticized all the time by non-Muslims who say there's no such thing. It's like the unicorn. It's much discussed. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
It does exist. It
I'd like to go over to Washington. Is the majority of Muslims in this world, the billion that they are they, this can exist? Or what are these, this majority? The man in the light blue shirt.
The question was, who is to blame for Islamophobia? And I think that if you break it down, phobia is an irrational fear. The irrational fear is used by people, by certain people in power. Governments use fear to coerce their populations into giving them consent for certain things.
Let me jump on that a little bit, because I think we have all kinds of phobias. We have Islamophobia. We have, Shahid has made a point, you've made a point as well. What does manufacturing that kind of fear license? And what it licenses is that the United States has occupied two countries in the Middle East and set its sights on a game of tic-tac-toe, three in a row. And it's taken tens of thousands of lives in the process. Bloodshed and domination are the product of manufacturing and exploiting Islamophobia, and we have to deal with that if
okay.
we're going to make the world peaceful.
Let me just say one word. Why have we been omitting the word Israel? Islamophobia is creating fear of Islam for the protection and the security of Israel. And this is what the whole game is about, the besieging of Iran, staying within this territory and not leaving and lying about leaving. Presidents are changed. They keep the troops there. They increase the troops to keep Israel safe. And I think what Imam Abdullah Musa was mentioning there, and he couldn't finish his argument, is what Mr. Pipes has done, and the likes of Mr. Pipes has been creating, and one of the persons who has coined Islamophobia. I'm not saying he did it, but I'm saying this has been coined by think tanks like where he comes from, and for the protection of Israel. Why have we been omitting the word Israel in your discussion so far? This is very interesting.
Okay, because we're very short of time, I can't give time for a rebuttal, but I'm being told that there's a lady on the front row in London who's had her hand up for a very long time. I apologise, I didn't see you there, but sir, I'd like your comments. You've got the wrap-up comments in the show. What would you like to say?
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak. Basically, I just wanted to say that Mr. Pike had brought up a very important topic about what the true facts about Islam are. And I just wanted to say, I think it's really easy to find out what true Islam is about. All you have to do is just approach any of your local Islamic communities of scholars that do continuous research to try and adapt the religion for modern life. And they will be able to tell you what the true message of Islam is. There should be no confusion about whether what the terrorists promote as being the true message of Islam is the true face or not.
I think that's an excellent point to end with. I know there's people still with their hands up, but that's a wrap for this link. I hope to have you here on another show where you can give your comments. But that was a wrap. I'd just like to remind everyone of our Facebook page. There was a heated debate about Islamophobia coming into this programme, and I'm sure there'll be more debate on the Facebook discussion page coming out of this programme. So log on and let us know what you think. But from now, from our participants in Tehran, London and Washington, from our guests, Mr. Talibzadeh and Mr. Pipes, and from me, Narges Mobaleghi, and the whole Link team, it's goodbye.